Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us on today's podcast. We have been working our way from number four to number one in 2015's most viral verse, according to the Bible app. Today, we're going to be talking about number one. What is it?
Hello there, and welcome to the Believer's Church Podcast.
A podcast about real people, real problems, and real answers.
Podcasting from the beautiful East Tennessee mountains.
Here's your host,
Pastor Mike Friday.
You know, I'm convinced the reason that this verse we're going to be talking about today is so popular and it may be one of the most misunderstood or misinterpreted or misapplied verses in the whole Bible. And you say, well, why would you say that? Because it appears to be the perfect name it and claim it verse. You know, kind of a verse. When you read it, you think, man, I need to go to the gym, start working out. I'm going to run a marathon. And you maybe read it and go, you know, I can't really carry a tune in a bucket, but I'm going to go on American Idol and I'm going to win. So the number one verse last year, most looked at, most shared, most hashtagged, most tweeted, text, bookmarked, favorited more than any other. Yes, Philippians 4:13. You probably know it by heart. Most of you have read it, I'm sure. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And, you know, and even non-Christians would look at this and say, wow, that's a great verse. And I understand how people would say, man, that's just a great verse, because that verse, it appears to say, if you can see it, you can be it. If you believe it, you can achieve it. No obstacle too big for you. You can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. Well, there's a couple problems with that thinking. You know, number one, Paul, who wrote this, did not intend for that verse to be taken that way. He was not claiming that if you believe this, that you could turn into the Incredible Hulk. Or if you love Jesus at 90 years old, you could still dunk a basketball. Or if you love Jesus, you could walk on water. No. You know, the second problem here was, we know that there are some things in life that are absolutely, clearly impossible. And we never want to take a text out of context. But there's some good news here. Even though some have taken this text out of context, the beautiful thing is, when you put it in context and you see what it really does mean, it doesn't lose any power. It actually gains power. And yes, by the way, I do believe it. This verse deserves to be one of the most shared verses in the Bible. Let me just give you a little bit of backdrop here. Philippians was written by Paul to a church in Philippi. Philippi existed until about the 13th century, no longer exists today, in the country of Greece area of Macedonia there. And one of the most prosperous, explosive churches really in the New Testament. And in gratitude to what Paul had done for them and helped them as a church, they wanted to give Paul some financial support, and they kind of became his lifeline there to be able to do that. And this is what Paul is referring to in this verse. Let's go back and look at verse number 10, which says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me, Paul says. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. So the question is, why were they so concerned? You know, what was the problem? Well, when Paul was writing this, he was not sitting on the beach sipping lemonade, but he was in prison. I mean, Paul didn't even know if he would ever get out of there alive. But you know what? If today's verse meant what maybe some think it means, Paul could have just gotten out of jail, but he didn't. You know why? Because he couldn't. But then you read the next two verses, and then that kind of puts verse 13 in a little clearer perspective. Let's read verses 11 and 12. Paul said this, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. And Paul is saying, this is why I'm writing you. You know, I've learned this secret in being content in every situation. And he's not writing to tell them how to get out of a situation. He's saying, hey, look, in good times and bad times and happy times and sad times and light times and dark times. And, you know, all of us listen to this podcast. This is a secret that all of us need to learn. And maybe some of you right now listening, you're going, you know what? My life is a mess because you're not satisfied. Or my marriage is a mess because you're dissatisfied with your marriage. Or your finances, they're a mess because you're not satisfied. So many of us, we get dissatisfied with what we have, and we always want more, right? We got to have that new car or watch or house or vacation. Paul learned two words that taught him to unlock the secret to satisfaction. And You can find them in verse number 13, and here they are. Through him. Through him. I can do all things through him. So let me set the stage a little bit here. This verse is not talking about how to succeed, nor how to soar higher, or break through a barrier, or how to finish a race, or to win a game. It's all about understanding that the real source of satisfaction you will ever get in this life is Jesus. Nothing else can permanently satisfy. You can jump from one marriage to another, one thrill to the next. You'll just want another one later. It will not satisfy. And Paul is saying, I'm trying to teach you the secret. When you understand who Jesus is and who you are in Jesus and what you have in Jesus and where you stand in Jesus, you can be totally satisfied regardless of your circumstances. Take any situation that you are in right now, and I've got a question for you. Do you believe the way you're handling that situation, looking at that situation, or conducting yourself in that situation, that you're glorifying Jesus? If yes, then you ought to be satisfied, because that's all that matters. So Paul takes this great passage, and he teaches us really three lessons here on satisfaction and contentment. I want to give them to you really quick. Number one, you can learn contentment. We can all learn contentment. Look back at verse 11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I'm in to be content. Paul says contentment, it's an acquired skill here. You can learn to be satisfied. Because, hey, if you don't learn how to be totally satisfied with where you are today and what you have today, you'll never be satisfied with where you go and what you have tomorrow, folks. I'm reminded of 14-year-old Jason Lamont, and he wrote a poem called Present Tense. It's got a lot of wisdom, a lot of foresight in it. I want to read it to you. It goes like this. It was spring, but it was summer I wanted, the warm days and the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted, the colorful leaves and the cool, dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted, the beautiful snow and the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted, the warmth and the blossoming of nature. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature and sophisticated. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle age I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. My life is over, or my life was over, but I never got what I wanted. You know, so many people live their life in this desert of dissatisfaction. They're frustrated when they're born, and they're frustrated when they die, because they never learn to be satisfied where they are. Because if you can learn to be satisfied today, you'll be satisfied the rest of your life. Because when you learn that secret, it is amazing how God just through us lives his life. There was a man who had a farm, and he got dissatisfied with his farm, and you know, he wanted a bigger and better farm. He calls his buddy, who's also in the real estate, and he said, "Hey man, I want to sell my farm." And the agent said, "Well, sure, that shouldn't be a problem. Let me write up a description. I'll come by and you take a look at it, and see what you think. But I'm going to go ahead and post it whenever I get it made up." And so he said, "He came by his house and he said, "Here's what I posted." And he said, "Well, read it to me." He said, "Well, beautiful farm for sale, 250 acres of rolling hills, valleys, and quiet streams. The climate is excellent year-round. The ground is fertile for any crop. Beautiful two-story house. Three barns in excellent condition, situated in a fantastic neighborhood." And that farmer said, "Read that back to me one more time." So he did, and that farmer said, "Take that off the market. I've been looking for a place like that all my life." So listen, learn the lesson of being content with what you have today and where you are today. You can be satisfied. Now, lesson number two that we learn here is contentment. It is a life that we can live. Look at verse 12. "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." You know, Paul's not talking theory here, folks. He's talking fact. He's learned seriously how to be content in difficult situations. And Paul, he has made his mind up. You know what? No matter who I am, where I am, what I have, what I don't have, I'm going to be satisfied in Jesus. And you're probably thinking, well, that's fine for Paul. He's not going through what I'm going through today. He's not experiencing what I am. Well, let me give you some good and bad news to that. The good is you're probably right. The bad news is, on your worst day, you've never been through what that man has gone through, the heartache and the pain, the suffering. Let me just give you a few things. Spent almost as much time in jail as he did out of jail. Had a contract put out on his life. 5 times beaten with whips, 39 stripes, 3 times beaten with rods. He was stoned, shipwrecked, rejected by the people he grew up with, the Jews, and persecuted by the people he was trying to reach, the Gentiles. And most of the time he was without food and family and finances and friends and fellowship and freedom. Yet Paul said, I have learned in every single one of those situations to be totally, completely satisfied. So you can learn contentment, and we can have this life and live it and allow Christ to live through us. Let me give you the third thing really quick. Contentment comes from a Lord you should love. Look at verse 13. Now we can read this in the proper perspective. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And Paul says, you know what? I can be totally satisfied in any situation, location, because of Jesus who strengthens me. Now, key word there, strengthen, and you may want to circle that in your Bibles if you have it open, because in the Greek language, it's a medical term. And it refers to a blood transfusion, and it means to take one thing and transfuse it into something else. And here's what Paul's saying. Please don't miss this, whatever you do. When you become a follower of Jesus, you don't just live your life for him, but he lives his life through you. And here's why this is such a big, it's a huge deal. You go back and you look at the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find Jesus lived a totally satisfied life. He was totally satisfied. He was content. Jesus, I mean, he never griped, he never complained, whined, he never threw a pity party. Listen, you're not going to be totally satisfied in this life, never, until the most important thing in your life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Always. My satisfaction can't be found in my wife or my children, my grandchildren, no way. It only can be found in Jesus, because Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, he's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know anybody else in the world like that. Do you? I really don't. Listen, Jesus will never, ever disappoint you. And when you understand that, if you have Jesus, you've got all that you need. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, if you have everything without Jesus, you have nothing. If you have nothing with Jesus, you have everything. And if you have everything, why should you be dissatisfied? Because Jesus lived a totally satisfied life. Jesus went to the cross, but he died a totally satisfied death. Jesus was raised from the grave as a totally satisfied Lord. So I can't do everything I want to do. That's not what this verse says. What this verse is saying is, Mike, you can't do everything you want to do, but through me, you can do everything you ought to do. And through me, you can do everything I ask you to do. And Mike, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be satisfied. I want you to be content. Whether you have a job or whether you don't, whether you're popular, whether you're not, whether people like you, whether they're not, whether people like what you preach or whether they do not. Because listen, when it's all said and done, you still have me, and I'm all you need. Hey, thanks for joining us on today's podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Believers Church Podcast.
Visit us online at www.believerschurch.tv. Facebook.com/believerschurch.tv. Follow Pastor Mike at twitter.com/MikeFriday and instagram.com/MFRealLife. Check out the other podcasts all about life and the world.
Until next time,
keep it real and come on.